I have noticed a building right before it recently. Houses. In this package.
It's in that package over there.
Right.
It only comes here about once a month, because it's a monthly report, so it's the end of the max year package monthly.
All right, I would like to call to order our regular meetings for the Board of Supervisors on this day of April the 18th, 2018. Good evening, everyone. See a lot of staff members, visitors. Good evening. Would you please stand with us while we say the pledge in a moment of silence? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Kelly.
We need to adopt the agenda. Anyone want to take away anything?
No.
Okay, may I have a motion?
So made.
Adam, second.
Second.
I just said, motion was made to adopt the agenda by Mr. Weaver and second by Mrs. Steele. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's why we need to back up.
Tab A.
All right.
It's not an action item.
Okay.
Okay, it's just a discussion.
All right.
So when you get there, it'll say that on the screen, but it's just a discussion. Tab B is a action item that's associated with it, but tab A is just a discussion item.
Just a discussion, all right, so minutes will reflect that. First, we have our county administrator's report.
Just a couple of quick things to report on, Vice Chair. The Celebrating Children's Fair was this last weekend, and it was actually a good turnout and a big success, and I was a little worried about it, and so was Ms. May, because when social services does that, they normally do it at Carysbrook Elementary, but this year they did it at the high school, and I got there about an hour late, because we thought it was 10 to 2, and when we got there, they were taking the bouncy things down, and there weren't any cars in the lot, so I thought it was just nobody was there. She said, no, they had, you know, over 200 people, 275 people there, and well-attended, and so it was really good, well-advertised, even though it's in the back side of the high school, we go in there, all of the bouncy place stuff draw a lot of kids, so it was a great event.
Yeah, it was a nice event.
Next time, we'll pay better attention to the time. Because they always have good popcorn there. In the clerk's office over here in the records room, remember, you approved moving some funding to move the HVAC from the ceiling. We moved it down below, so if it ever leaks or has problems, it's not dropping on all our records from 1777. And so you can see on the screen there, you can't, when you walk in there, unless you know the room ahead of time, you can't tell this is even ever added, because it just looks like a wall section of where there's a beam in the building, and that's a door. There's not even a handle on, there's just a tab that pulls up, and that's where all the AC things are in there now. It just matches, of course, the rest of the room, and so it was really nice, well done by Public Works and our contract partners.
When was this finished up, then, actually?
We, 2 weeks ago, Wayne?
I toured through there about a month ago, so I guess I missed the finish up part. But
yeah, and that's what it looks like now.
A lot of work had been done even up to then, you know.
Yep, indeed. But to get the AC out of the overhead makes a lot of sense in a record room like that. And so when we had to work on it anyway, this was a great solution. And doesn't take up any extra floor space, really, because one of the beams already stuck out about almost that far. So Farm Museum's moving right along. This was a picture from earlier today. You can see they've got the skylights in, and is that just the tar paper on there, Aaron?
Yeah, it's just the paper.
They haven't put the slate shingle things on there yet.
They got the windows on there.
The columns are up now. These big, huge columns are about 18 inches in diameter, and so they look pretty nice.
Looks good.
Great facility, yeah. And then we had another barking dogs complaint. There may be a citizen here tonight to talk to. I'm not sure if he showed up or not, but in the southwestern part of the county, another complaint from a citizen that's got, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 dogs next door, and the dogs bark constantly. He's talked to the family, but as we've talked before, you know, this has come up half a dozen times in the last 6 years that I've been here, and you really have only kind of two alternatives, because there's no ordinance support for it now. You've got the friendly neighbor approach, where you go talk to somebody and you shake hands and they make their dogs be quiet, which sometimes works and most of the time doesn't. Or you've got the legal approach, which is not the friendly approach and usually doesn't make for good neighbors, but if you want the barking that goes on 24/7 to stop, you almost have to go that way. But I told the citizens I'd bring it up again and see if the board is interested in any kind of change to county ordinances. I know the sheriff's office said enforcement would be the very difficult part in a rural county. There are already rules for densely populated areas,
yes,
like the lake and things, but it's a darn difficult thing, but it's also a really annoying thing when you got one dog next door that constantly barks. Bad enough.
Yeah, I talked to that individual today and referred him actually to you.
Sorry.
And I think you told him about the same thing that I told him, that I thought it was good that they hear from somebody else also.
I did, and I asked him to come tonight or to a future meeting, and that I would let him know if the board had decided to head in any different direction or look at any differently. I told him I wasn't optimistic, just because we're a rural county and cities have vastly different rules and abilities to enforce things, but enforcement in a rural county is difficult. So I'm laying your laps for discussion, and you can give staff direction or county attorney I talked a little bit about today. The sheriff's here in case.
I think the densely populated areas, I think we've addressed that in the country.
Now, if they do go before the judge, right, they go before the judge,
civil.
A complaint.
Yeah, it would be civil action.
Civil action. Nine times out of ten, have we ever had anyone to do that?
I'm sure some of us
not. Not to your knowledge. And what do you, in the law firm, what is usually the outcome, just from your experience, attorney, not to have credit?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect you'd have a pretty good chance of having the judge take some action to make the neighbors quiet things down.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'd be almost sure of is that you would have permanently poisoned the well with your neighbor's relations. Now, it may be to the point where the plaintiff doesn't care because his wells are a bit poisoned. But it's a tough thing to do. It's expensive. That is an available remedy. And if the judge would be, typically would formulate a remedy that's well tailored to accomplish the objective. It wouldn't be just a guilty or not guilty, $100 fine. It wouldn't be something like that. He'd probably issue an injunction.
Mm-hmm. Are the dogs in a kennel or are they?
They are. He said that they were, when he went over there, they are, fed, watered, and fenced in. And the appropriate sleeping arrangements is what he said to me today on the phone. But so it didn't look like there was any, problem like these are abused dogs tied to chain to a fence or something. But they just bark all the time. There's nine of them. So. I'm not sure what to do. I empathize. The gunshots we hear in the county all the time from the different ranges or private ranges or people hunting don't last 24 hours a day. And so they're a little more tolerable. And some people move here and say, oh my God, there's so many gunshots, I can't stand it. Get used to rural life. That's the way it is. But it doesn't happen at 2:00 in the morning. Normally, if it does, then there's a problem. But the dog's going 24/7 and obviously it'd be annoying, but we're a rural county.
I think most of us out of the country, many times, I can hear dogs late in the evening barking out.
You know what I hear most of the time at night? Coyotes.
Yeah.
I know that my dog barks them at night, but that's because I got coyotes running right next to the yard, yipping at them and howling at them.
But that's just, in a way, part of country living. But to me, you have to, I guess, go out of warrant or something to maybe stop that.
You'd sue for maintaining private nuisance.
Right, yeah.
Well, it seemed like you could also maybe have an ordinance that addresses a quantity of dogs. I mean, it's one thing to have two or three, it's another thing to have 10, 15, 20 dogs.
We do for businesses, but privately, I don't know that there's any rules for your own.
I don't think we have any. Part of the problem with that is, again, back to Mr. Weaver's comment, this is is his country of living, and there are people that frequently use hunting dogs. And, you know, if you're like me, and you hunt with a sitter, you have one or two, but if you hunt with hounds, you frequently have a number. So saying that you had four or five or six or nine wouldn't be at all surprising. Mr. Sheridan would be knowledgeable about that.
That's it.
So.
But I've got two labs, two shoots, and two beagles. I got a Duke's Mick. A
friend of mine lives in out of Mr. Sheridan's way, and he's got, I don't know how many he's got, but he's got basically got a pack of beagles. He's a rabbit hunter.
And most rabbit hunters don't have around 10.
But
and there's some deer hunters and some fox hunters that may have 20.
Right. I still feel a little bit uncomfortable that it's almost like this has come to us before. And we have studied and we put a lot.
Yep. And we checked the surrounding areas.
I'm trying to think about, is there a way that there would be some written kind of notice to the people to say, these are the things you can do, and it's a cost to you, almost like a recipe of what you need to do. You need to go to the clerk's office, you have to get a complaint form, then you have to wait.
I'm not talking about anything like that, because if you're talking about suing for private nuisance.
Okay, well tell me what's the process.
You're filing suit against somebody in a certain tour.
Okay,
but you need a lawyer.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. They need to know what that entails.
Yeah, well, if anyone ever asked that, we would certainly tell them to consult a lawyer, because we're not going to give them legal advice and we're not going to tell them the steps in the process, because we then put ourselves in the situation of telling them wrong or telling them the wrong thing. And so they need to consult an attorney. And it's a pretty clear process for an attorney to know, but I'm not sure that.
We don't have very many attorneys around.
I think the ones we have are awful.
Who? Did you ask me this?
I think you'd be running a serious risk with that of misleading the public, because it's not like going down to the magistrate and swearing out a warrant for trespass or something, where you swear to the magistrate, he fills out the form and is served by the sheriff and goes on about his business. Litigation is a pretty complicated process. And if you do anything wrong, you lose. So.
Yeah, and I understand all that. I just feel a little bit helpless that there isn't very much we can do, and there's nothing we can just
there is something you can do. There is something you can do. You can propose something, staff can write it up, you can have a public hearing and pass an ordinance, but that requires the will of the board.
Yes.
And in rural county, I haven't seen too much will to do that, but I'm empathetic to everyone's plight, and I certainly understand what you're saying, but how do we be consistent with that when we're trying to provide some, here's your legal process? We're not supposed to do that.
Well, we've studied it, we've looked at it. When do we look at it in a different way? Do we need to revisit it? I can just imagine dogs, and you can't sleep, and you had dogs barking half of the night. Anyway.
Well, one thing you need, I'm telling you, you don't know this, because I'm sure you do,
yes.
And I'll remind you of it, and that is, there is no judge, no police officer, no lawyer in the world that can make somebody a good neighbor. And if he's letting his dogs bark all night, things like that, he's not a good neighbor.
So he should have some consequences for not being a good neighbor.
Well, he does. You can sue him.
Okay.
It's just like he came down and, you know, trespassed on your property. You can sue him for that. And there's some things you have to sue him for.
And the good neighbor part of it, oftentimes people look to government to fix their good neighbor problems. And
I don't think you can write enough laws to fix all the good neighbor problems. And you don't, and plus the sheriff, the last time, I think, was really concerned about enforcement. If you have some type of ordinance that, you know, can't make it a noise ordinance, really, because you have to stand there when it's happening and do decibels with staff out there and check it, or...
Could we do like a nuisance fee? So, if the police are called out to your property four times, you know, because the dogs are doing this, they will assess a fee against you.
No, I don't think so.
No, but then, because if somebody knows that you have that, whether they're doing it or not, they'll call. Well, they were doing it.
Well, I think that's unconstitutional, because that would be assessing a penalty for without proof.
That's what the lake did, but...
And the way the lake can do it, because it's not a governmental agency.
Gotcha.
All righty. Anything else, Mr. Nichols?
Oh, let's see. There's your regular meetings coming up. Thank goodness we're back on regular schedule.
We'll need to go there.
Yeah. 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock meetings, and just regular meetings during May and June. You are going to have some work session time on water issues again, as Mr. Stevens brings forward, you know, rate tables and rules and policies, because we're going to have to start actually adopting those. The invitation for bid should be out on the street sometime in the next couple weeks, we think. Okay, just imminent. So then it'll be out for probably 90 days. I think we're going to put it out for 90 days to try to get as many bids as possible. And it's a complicated bid process. And then we'll put together a group, of course, and with supervisors involved when we get those bids in later in the summer.
You don't have any idea of the market conditions going into that?
Up.
Yeah, I know.
But based on numbers from the JRWA side, up. But no, I don't. I mean, we still got our estimates from the engineers who are doing current estimates. And did you get an update the other day when you asked Dan? Okay. He asked for an update the other day to see what they said on market conditions, but we haven't heard yet. But as soon as we get any more information, I'll let you know. But
seems to be a shortage somewhat in creating these higher prices.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many businesses now that are busy. It creates higher costs when you're trying to get them. So anyway, we'll see what it is when we get the bids back. 90 days or so. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Anyone? Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols. All righty. Before I go to the first round of public comment, I'm going to open this up before I forget. I was asked by Ms. Hughes to read this to y'all. We are pleased to announce that Fluvanna County Social Services and MACA is having a dedication ceremony of our new food pantry building, April 27th, 2018 at 11 a.m. Please join us for our ribbon cutting and tour of our new buildings behind Carisbrook High School. And she asked if I would make sure that I got this to all the board members and read that to you.
We'll get it on the calendar, and I'll get it on your calendar, so I have to put it on tomorrow.
Please do. Thank you very much. All righty. Now, I will now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time, please approach the chair. Keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Please make sure you state your name and address. Anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? Yes, ma'am.
We need to sit here. I've never done this before.
We Mr. Nichols is going to grab you another chair. Yes, ma'am. And the reason for that is the courthouse asked us to stop moving the microphones around because we were hurting the court. And we were doing that, so now we get to sit in the witness stand. So I apologize for the close quarters, but...
My name is Pat Burke, and I live on Kathy's Lane.
My name is Steve Irvey, but we also live on Kathy's Lane. It's a little short road, 4/10 of a mile long, comes off an Oliver Creek Road to a cul-de-sac. Their farm is on one side of the cul-de-sac, our farm, you get out in the woods to both places. And over here on the same thing, the waste dumping along Oliver Creek Road.
Yeah. A year or so ago, I solicited the help from Scott Miller, who was as helpful as he could be at the time with the ordinances that were in place then. And then this year, I've also gotten the help with Trish Yeagers. And we're hoping that with the new ordinances that went into place in January of this year, that the board can help us get all of the creek cleaned up. It's a very unsightly situation in at least six residences. I did make a packet of pictures that I've, and the pictures unfortunately don't tell the true story, but many of these residents are basically their trash dumps. And one place, there's the, they had a huge, huge dumpster. It's on this first page of 1322 Oliver Creek. Literally was there for over a year, filled to the top with trash bags. And all sorts of trash just strewn everywhere around the property. They, Scott was able to get that moved, and the very next day, they put a couch out there, a stove, a sink. There's multiple boxes, bags, have no idea what's in there. It's extremely unsightly. There's several of the places that have vehicles that have been sitting there for years. I've lived on Kathy's Lane for 31 years, and some of these vehicles are still there.
And I'm witness to that because I remember the day we drove down Oliver Creek Road with a real estate agent, Duke Merrick from Roy Wheeler Real Estate. That same green Cadillac sits there today, along with two other vehicles beside it. It makes you ashamed to have company come because you, and I'm no good Samaritan, believe me, but I do try and get out and pick up the road,
yep,
and especially Kathy's Lane, and we all do,
yep,
because I know company's coming, and it's like we're the dumping ground for anybody coming from Charlottesville. That first 250 foot on Kathy's Lane or Oliver Creek Road when it goes south is where they get rid of their, now if they've had a big meal, they'll get all the way to our, in front of Kathy's Lane. That's about a mile and a half down the road, but I mean, it's like a dumping ground for it. And I'm tired. Last year, I tried to keep up with it, and it was almost like they looked for a clean spot. Boy, here's a fresh, almost like a fresh deer. Well, we also get deers dumped in along our roadside and that. Three or four that they take the loin out of and dump the carcasses right there.
Yeah,
VDOT, well, yeah, you can check with VDOT. We call
the
them and they come out and pick them up.
But these residences in particular that I've put pictures of, they've been like this for years. This isn't just something that just happened. And they're unsightly, they're unsanitary, they're unhealthy, they're not safe. We have coyote and bear that come around that area. There's snakes coming out now. I just saw the first dead copperhead yesterday. You know, there's mice, rabbits, and all kinds of varmints. They're really, it's a health hazard. And they're just not good stewards of the land. And in my opinion, there's no reason for anybody to keep their property like this. We have a place where these things can go, and they just throw it everywhere on their property. There's trailers that have been on one property. They have tarps on the top of it. I mean, there's tires here, there's trash, there's furniture, you know, any kind of bathroom fixture, vehicles that are not working. It's just extremely unsightly. And now that there are ordinances in place, and I've read them, and Steve has read them as well, and we're hoping that the county can help us get this road cleaned up. It's just terribly unsightly and unhealthy. And Pat's taken the ride down the road with me with eyes wide, looking at these things, and so has Scott Miller. And we just were asking for something to help us get this done.
I bet every one of you sitting up there, if you'd have thrown waste paper out or garbage when your folks are tired, and you're right. I know my folks would have. The only thing my dad said he would ever throw out of this car is an apple core because the ants will have it eaten by the dark.
Yep.
Am I wrong or does it ring some bells with you?
The other issue with this was when Liberty Homes started building homes on Kathy's Lane, which is just recent for this year, and that's when I got Pat involved. They had no trash dumpsters at all to take any of their construction materials. And the materials were blowing into the road, and I walk the road every day with my dog and picking it up, bags of trash. And then finally, I was like, I'm done. You know, why don't they have, they had no porta potties there at all, no trash dumps. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Trish, you can correct me, but I think you spoke to them about the fact that they needed to, but I think at the time we didn't have an ordinance that said they had to have one. I'm not quite sure on that.
That's one of the reasons we needed to adopt some of the ordinances.
Yeah. So it looks to me, correct me if I'm incorrect here, but that some of these ordinances for the trash and for the vehicles that are definitely unlicensed and they're rotting into the ground and the trash, that we hopefully should be able to enforce some of these to get these people to clean up their properties.
Vehicles are great snake and rat havens. If you park and went out in the woods for a while and come back a year later, you'll find some company.
And this first house here,
okay. I'm going to have to ask y'all.
That's fine. But right. You have
these
pictures.
Thank y'all very much. We will make sure the staff gets on that and gets that done. Scott will make sure he gets that done.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
good
guys.
Luck for the ordinances. Thank you for getting
Thank you.
It.
Thank y'all so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak to the board at this time? No one? Seeing no one, I'll close the first round of public comments. We'll now go to public hearing W, Blue Valley County Code Amendment concerning motor vehicles and traffic taxation. Mr. Nichols, and this is what we decided on?
Yeah, so this is just the vehicle license fee for trailers. That hadn't been in your county ordinances before, and state code allows a fee of from $18 up to a much higher number, depending on what it is. You elected to set a flat fee for any type of trailer, pull behind trailers, semi-trailers, and tractor trailers, and trailers, and it's $18 a year. So that's what the ordinance change is. You can see on the screen, the language in there is highlighted in red, just added the trailer language, so you'll need to have a public hearing on that and then take your action. That will equate to about $96,000 is what the current working estimate in tax revenue over the course of a year.
Already, do we have any questions from the board on that? Already. Hearing none, we will now open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topics and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board on this topic at this time?
Question about
up here, ma'am, please. Ms. Burke, you got to come back up. We just have to have it recorded. It makes it a lot easier for Ms. Harris to keep up.
I just have a question about the trailer. Does that refer to RVs?
Pull behind. Campers, yes.
Okay, pull behind camper. So that will have an $18
once a year fee. It'll come on your June bill.
Okay.
The blue bills that come with the car vehicle license fees. The vehicle license fee for a car is $33, motorcycle $18. This will have, if you own a trailer that's registered through VDOT, it will have an $18 fee.
Okay. It could be a pull this year. It could be something to haul your lawnmower. It could be something to haul your boat.
That's fine. Right. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll now close this public hearing. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Do I have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve an ordinance to amend and reenact Chapter 15, Article 2, Sections 15.2-2-1 through 15.2.3-3 of the Savannah County Code regarding license fees for certain vehicles.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Cook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move to public hearing on XYZ. ZTA 1802, amendment to telecommunications fees.
Very good evening, Mr. Chairman. This is the board. I'm just going to give a brief presentation for amendment to the county ordinance for telecommunications fees. So currently there are three different fees referenced in various locations within the zoning ordinance section 22.17.7. This fee is $1,500 plus $5,500. Section 22-17-14 lists a third party reviewer's fee is $4,000. And our application references a fee of $900, which just to clarify that our application matches our current third party reviewer, which is the Atlantic Group. So the proposed solutions to reconcile these different fees. We are proposing to amend the ordinance to this clarify that the new towers require special use permits, site plan review, mailing costs, and our consultant's review fee. And then for existing towers, co-locations and modifications to them, et cetera, clarify that they only require the minor site plan process fee, mailing costs, and then our consultant's fee. So in section 22-17.7, the red language on the screen is what's being added. And you can see the language has stricken through. That's what's being removed, so a $1,500 fee and a $5,500 consultant review fee are no longer applicable. And then the red language clarifies that the site plan review fee is $550 for co-locations, and then new towers require a full special use permit. And then this is the language to section 22-27-14 of the zoning ordinance, removing the $4,000 fee and not listing a fee there at all, allowing flexibility based on whoever the county's consultant is at that time. So that concludes my presentation. I can attempt to answer any questions you might have.
Do we have any questions from the board? Thank you very much. Do appreciate it. Okay, hearing no questions, I will now open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on top and directed to the board. Does anyone wish to speak to the board at this time on this topic? Seeing none, I will now close this public hearing. Do we have any more comments from the board?
Are we actually reducing the fees, it looks like, on these?
You're doing a couple of things. One, you're referring to the county's actual cost,
yes,
rather than to a flat fee. The second thing is you're being more flexible about it. We did get some complaints when there were minor activities, you know, adding an element to the existing tower or something like that, and the ordinance would require the full consultant fee of $4,000.
And that's pretty steep there.
Well, it appeared to be unreasonable, and we didn't need to do that after the new contract came in. So this does all that, and it creates a fee that in effect floats with the contract. So we would have to go back and amend the ordinance if we had a new contract.
But the new contractor's fee is much lower too, which is good.
Yes.
It typically is much lower.
And it could fluctuate from each individual each time that they come and apply.
Well, it's going to fluctuate based on what they're doing.
Yes. So okay.
If they come in for a new tower, I think our contract is 3,200
for a new tower, yeah. Review.
900 for a,
it's going to be a flat fee because that's the way the contract is run.
Okay.
I think we would talk about this and we said that it would be much simpler this way, and we might even get more.
You want to make it easy for people to get stuff on our tower.
Here to on every tower. Easily accessible to our citizens in areas that don't have it.
That is the feedback that I've gotten from some of the contract, some of the tower companies.
So since it's lower, the theory is that we're going to get more people on.
Well, not only is it lower, but they consider it fairer.
So it's more fair.
They're more inclined to want to come here. And it's actually legally better because you're only entitled to charge fees, sort of a break-even situation. You're not allowed to go and
make a profit. Huh?
Yeah, you're not allowed to make a profit.
Okay.
So it's better in a number of different ways.
Thank you.
Wrong time to take a bite. All right, any other questions? Do we have a motion?
Go ahead.
Sure. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZPA 1802 and ordinance to amend Chapter 22, Article 17, and Article 27 of the Flavanna County Code by certain amendments to sections and subsections 22-17-7 and 22-27-14. Thereof amending the Flavanna County zoning ordinance. The public purpose of these amendments is to update the fee schedule for telecommunication facilities.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Before I go any further, I want to make sure I say hello to the young people I see sitting in the back that are part of that government class that come in here, and make sure I tell you, if you've not had one of Ms. Seeger's cookies, you are missing a treat. And that's why she puts the basket right there. So if you're looking for a good cookie, Ms. Smith has nothing on her. We'll go to action matters A, VDOT quarterly update and secondary 6-year plan discussion. Mr. Saunders.
Yes, remember, sir. This is not an action item, but
it's just a discussion.
Right. Chairman Sheridan, members of the board, good evening. My name is Alan Saunders. With me tonight is Daryl Shiplett.
from our Culpeper District Programming Office, and he's the smart one if we have any questions as we enter the secondary six-year plan discussion about funding and times. So in your latest monthly report, I'll quickly review Smart Scale. We had a good discussion 2 weeks ago about the Smart Scale projects, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the secondary six-year plan as far as the candidates that we've selected. The projects, I'm glad to report that last week the Route 623 bridge was completed, so our bridge crew is moving on to another project, so we're happy to have that back open. The Route 53-618 roundabout project at the north end of Lake Monticello is on schedule. Still anticipated late 2019 advertisement for construction. Route 618 Rural Rustic, based on the decisions we'll make tonight, that project could be funded this July the 1st, and we would advance it on schedule. This anticipated late this July 1st, 2018. The 600-618 intersection improvements, that is advancing on schedule. We actually had, if your citizens may have noted, the survey party was out there today taking preliminary surveys up and down 600 and 618, getting the information ready so we can begin the design phase. Rumble strips, we continue to place rumble strips around the community. Over the last 4 weeks, we've continued 15, 53, 600, 618, and 616 rumble strips. So we're going to continue to put those as many places as we can.
They're really good, I think.
Well, thank you.
They wake you up real good.
They do. They sure do. Yeah, we're very thankful for them. They're really putting them in quicker, very quickly.
Isn't that hard on the road, though, the way they do that?
Over time, when water permeates, right, we'll come back through and seal it either with paint, pavement markings.
I was wondering about that.
It can, moisture can permeate that and freeze, and it'll begin to bubble up, but it's worth it.
Okay.
And what's the impact on tires, if any?
If they
are not supposed to be on them, so.
Yeah.
That is important.
I can't avoid them. They're right in front of the road.
I tried driving the school bus over.
Yeah, I can't afford
it. And all the kids
scream. Make
sure y'all are awake.
The Fluvanna County resurfacing, we're gearing up for the 2018 resurfacing plan. In the county report that we submit on Friday, we're going to include the updated resurfacing schedule based on our final revenues. As far as traffic engineering, we met Route 616 should be on the list. Very good. We met with our traffic engineers this morning along the 616 corridor and at South Keswick intersection to review with them, and we had a member of the Homeowners Association that was there with us this morning as well, discussing the passing lane. The traffic engineers are doing an entire study of the full length of the corridor, including that passing study. So they're going to look at safety from 15 all the way around back up, and they're going to come back with recommendations for safety improvements along the entire length of that, as well as improvements to South Keswick Drive. The county and safety and operational improvements, we've got several. The Route 600 Slice Abbey intersection, the signal work is commencing for this year, so our signal crews, you should see them in 3 to 4 weeks. They're going to come back and place pedestrian heads, the crosswalks, and the pavement markings, and then update the signals to be able to control the signals. If somebody wants to press the button, it'll close the phases and they can walk safely across the street. The next,
are you talking about the one on the signal rail in the county?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, it's kind of an error right there.
Right.
I didn't know it was Abbey Road. I was new slice, but okay.
Abbey across the road.
Abbey's on
the
subdivision. You're one city.
Yes.
We don't have a whole lot of choices on that.
Lots of traffic circles.
The village of Palmyra traffic circle is also noted. We'll keep that on our radar. If we've got county and safety and operational improvement funding that we could use to advance pavement marking improvements around the traffic circle, we could, one of the things that we discussed when we had our community meeting was actually mocking up the pavement markings and allowing your EMS vehicles to navigate the circle. And that's something that we can schedule now that it's warmed up to make sure they can navigate that, and we would modify our final plan based on that.
And school buses.
Absolutely. You know, your longest fire truck.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to put, would it be any one way to go, or are you still going both ways?
All one way around.
All one way, but yeah.
If you go this way, you'd go towards Maggie's house and around and come back down. But the parking then wouldn't be around the circle, it'd be angled parking along the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be much safer than it is now.
Yeah.
We
residents all seemed pretty positive when they had the meeting.
They did.
Right, yeah.
They did. And the plan, they had a few questions about the plan, but we'll mock it up. We'll drive your long vehicles through it and make sure they can safely navigate it, and then we'll schedule the work for them. On Route 600 and 616, we are also still, we've requested right of entry for the southeast corner to do some clearing at that corner to improve the site distance at that intersection. It's all stop, but some of the trucks that are coming on 616 and turning north are coming up 600 and turning east. Still have trouble navigating that to be able to see if there's a vehicle coming because they have to swing wide into the other lane to navigate it. So we're going to clear as much as we can around that perimeter. We have some right-of-way, but we're going to get some right of entry and something similar that we've just done at 600 and 618. And I wanted to thank Mr. Marachi. He was very helpful walking through that and laying out and giving us permission to access his property for those clearing. And I also noted 53 at 619. I want to talk about that real quick as we get into the secondary 6-year plan discussion. And maintenance activities. Our crews have done 408 work orders so far in Flint County this year, so they're really hot.
Well, God, thank you. Every time we brought up something as a board, that's one of the benefits of riding around and driving that car all the time. I go look, and it's not long. Y'all jump right on. So I want to thank you for that.
I saw your crews this morning, and they were clearing that intersection where Mr. Marachi's property is, I guess, just a few days ago, last weekend or something like that. So.
Well, I can't take credit for it. They're a great team.
Well, I'll tell you this much for Mr. Lovey. Well, our Palmyra branch came out. Mr. Ruhlman had him out there helping us with high water in Kentstor Monday morning.
Yes, sir.
But the last time we had a windstorm, Mr. Lovin then brought down a dozer, and we were clearing a lot of trees, so they did a great job.
They sure do.
I want to say thank you.
Those guys do a great job. 2 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, they're out.
Yep.
They do.
Is there any better way? I know they're fixing Park Union sign now. You know, the sign that's in the middle with the church over here, and it closed Pierce over here.
Right into six,
coming from West River Road. That sign is always down. And then there's another one next to the VP store. One time you put the orange pillows around it that looked like it kind of helped them from them knocking it down. Does that sign have to be there? Can a stop sign be on the corner? I think it is a stop sign there, but then in the middle there's also a stop sign. Some cars go this way. So,
but well, one of the things we've begun to do where we have a lot of high strike stop signs is actually replace them with thermoplastic pavement markings. Mm-hmm. Make sure that I say that right. And we'll have stop ahead, stop bars, water stop bars, raised stop bars, something else to generate awareness about that stop condition other than a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It, every time we come out and replace that sign, it costs us about $850.
Yes, so,
and it puts somebody in harm's way as well.
Right.
So those are two things we'd like to avoid. We get high strikes, we'll put barrels around them, we'll try to raise awareness, but sometimes they're just in a bad spot. If somebody's pulling a horse trailer, they've got to cut through there to navigate.
Logging trucks,
some school buses. So when we have some issues, not yours,
not at all. Yeah, school buses there too.
We'll note those, and the sign crews will then begin trying different things till we get to the point that we'll come back and we'll put thermo on the pavement.
Yeah. So I was going to say, Carysbrook Road, where it hits courthouse.
Yep.
Carysbrook
Road at courthouse road. Right.
Carysbrook courthouse road. Yeah. The logging trucks knock that one down.
Same with one Bremo Bluff Road, or Bremo Road and Route 6.
With the
orange container around, but Bremo Road and Route 6, but it gets knocked down regularly too.
Well, I'll note those and we'll, thank you.
And then the other one is the one at Cunningham Road and Route 6, the west end of Cunningham Road. That one's in a middle of the street sign as well. And that one's been knocked down multiple times, including by someone
near the store.
Okay.
Knocked down by you, knocked
it down?
Yeah. I reported to the sheriff's office. I just didn't realize it was in the middle of the road, and I took the turn and stopped quick and went.
Yeah. And I mean, y'all have to make it now where it doesn't take a whole lot to take her down because it's just.
the brake light.
Yeah, it barely even scratched the front bumper, but it sure knocked the sign down.
So. Yeah, that's the goal.
Mr. Nichols did not go
to the driver's application. You have to run somewhere
fast. Yeah, spring loaded.
My new rule is only one six pack at a time from now on.
That's right. I'm going to invent that and be a millionaire.
Oh, here we go. All righty.
Yes, sir. Any questions that I can answer on your look?
Anyone? I mean, you did a great job. The only road I did not hear you mention when you were talking about everything was 631 at both ends and 15 at 215.
Yes, sir.
That's the only one. I don't think I heard you mention that one.
As we going into the secondary six-year plan discussion, at the last meeting, the board identified four project candidates to advance. Our planning group at the district office reviewed those, and they're going to go back and begin assessing how they meet the SMART scale criteria. And one of the recommendations that they came back to me to identify was that one of the four candidate projects we identified was 250 and 631. Mm-hmm. And they did not think that that project would score well, that it met the eligibility for that.
Right. That one's got a lot of line of sight. I mean, you know, it's just a bad curve. Now, that one on the other end is bad.
That one on 15?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We want to leave that one. In lieu of that project, one of the recommendations that they had was phase two of the Fork Union Streetscape project. Mm-hmm. So we've completed phase one. For phase two, we've got a sketch. We can prepare an estimate. It meets a V-Trans need. It's eligible for SMART scale, and it would be a good candidate. So that's one project. And what we can do is come back and give you another host of projects that you can review and consider and prioritize, and we would work out 215, 631 and work in one of the other candidates. So as we talk about your secondary six-year plan, it looks much like it did last year. We're anticipating as revenues for FY 2024 of $87,000 in telefee, and those are funds that the county can use for just about anything on both a roadway that's in the secondary system or a rural addition project to make improvements and bring a private street into the secondary system. Studies, lots of things we can do with those telefee funds. District unpaid funds. It's a dilemma that we have in Fluvanna County in that you do not have very many eligible unpaid routes. So it's a good problem compared to many of our other counties in the state. But because of that, we only get $14,000 a year in Fluvanna County for hard surfacing eligible routes. And those are routes that have at least 50 vehicles per day. So in Fluvanna County, there are five eligible routes. Actually, there's four, because one of them, Fayette Street in Columbia, we finished last year. Middle Fork, Route 680, and that's in the plan that we hope to start in July. Route 674, Timber Road, and that actually goes into Goochland. Route 759, which has a posted structure on it that will not allow us to bring a tandem dump truck full of stone and aggregate over it. It's at 12 tons, and that's in the plans to try to find funding to improve, but we're still seeking funds. We have to improve the bridge first before we can bring the equipment over the bridge. 759 is off of 250.
Is that Blue Ridge Drive?
It is White Hill Road.
It's got to be up in your corner. Hold on. Is in that little section that I have in Goochland, Louisiana. I haven't heard of that road.
That section of 759 is Cedar. And let me look in the six-year plan real quick, because it was listed. We took the bridge project out.
Didn't we? It was last year.
So the road we did. There's no bridge on the little road up
there. Right. That's Cedar over in your area.
Yeah.
It's another section of 759, and I think it's over off 250 in a very small section.
You're thinking 659 Cedar Lane?
Yeah, 659 Cedar
Lane. No, we've got it listed as Route 759.
Okay. But it's Cedar Lane.
No. When you say Cedar, I think you're right. You're thinking 659.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're correct. Yes, sir.
But I can't remember the name of the little road, but it doesn't have a bridge on it.
Well, this one is off of 250. It's a dead end. It has a posted structure. The structure replacement itself, we are seeking funding to replace the structure because it's on the Culpeper District's list of 83 structures that are structurally deficient and we need to replace. And we have to replace that first before we can bring equipment across it to hard surface. So those are the routes that we've got that are eligible. So if we look in the packets that we distributed to you, in one of the tabs, it actually lists by route all of the, and the four packets do you have? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
That packet.
Okay.
In there, there's a list of secondary unpaved roads, and you have several routes that are close to 50 vehicles a day. So what we've done is we've asked our traffic engineers to go out and perform counts on those with at least 40, and that includes Route 602 Greenwood Circle, Route 624 Holmhead Circle, Route 648 Turner Road, Route 677 Old Fork Lane, Route 617 Anderson Lane. And of those five, we also canvassed our two superintendents, Mr. Lovin and Ruhlman, and Old Fork Lane is one that they would like to at some point try to incorporate into Route 677. Into the plan. That was one that they recommended that they spent a lot of money to maintain.
You know,
it's a small one.
Way far northwest, about half mile from the Albemarle border off 250.
Oh, mm-hmm. You know, on Tepe Town Road, when you go down Tepe Town Road, there is a big curve. And there is a sign that says there's a curb, and I think there's a sign the other way. But the farm and the banks and the fence is almost in the road. You can't cut back, and you can't make, that's private property, so you can't make people cut the banks back. You can't get a clear, there's no way you can get a clear sight going around that curb.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe the community needs to do something.
If it's in, if it's a line of sight thing, they can go in and have, they can go in and cut it and back.
Yeah. And we typically, what we can do is get the property owner's permission if it falls outside of our easement.
Right.
And a lot of times in the erring on the side of safety, we're promoting safety.
And now that we have cows out in the road, that same road, I'm afraid somebody is going to come around the curb and run into the cow. But anyway, that's a seem to be a dangerous spot.
Well, we'll certainly go out there and look at that.
Tepe Town Road. Okay.
Are we doing something to Payne's Mill Road? Did I miss that? That was where you come over the hill and
over here.
You go too fast. You like where there was an accident there a few years ago where the car got pushed out into 250 going over the top.
Right at Beaver Dam Church.
Okay.
We talked about it a year and a half ago or something like that. And I think they were going to look and see if they could put some signage out to give people a warning because you come up to it very quickly.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
There's a, it says stop ahead as you approach the hill.
Okay. It made a significant difference because I've used that road.
Good. When you're on the center stripes and not paying attention to stop signs, those things happen.
You must have followed me.
We know how you navigate.
I'm flying.
So we have some recommendations for the unpaved road funds. Now the telefee is where I wanted to start talking about some options. The telefee funds can be used for anything. So right now in FY24, we're allocating $87,000 in telefee funds. In meetings that we've had with the county, with your county staff, we've talked about streetscape projects in Palmyra and Fork Union and Columbia. Well, one of the things that we could do with those future funds is bank them in a balance entry account, our traffic engineering services, and take some money from those traffic engineering services funds that we've got, which right now is about $220,000, and create projects with seed money to do studies to develop scope and estimate for Palmyra and Columbia streetscape projects. Mm-hmm. We can submit an application for smart scale funding for the Fork Union Phase 2 streetscape project. And then we could also create a project for 53 and 619 to do some survey and study to figure out if that's not a good smart scale candidate, then what is the scope?
How can we make it better?
Right. Yeah. And that would start with a survey. We need to determine where the utilities are. Traffic engineers would give us some solutions. And from there, we could come up with a cost estimate of a revenue stream and then figure out next year how to get that in the plan with some funding from something other than smart scale. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of doing the go ahead and start the planning phase of Palmyra and Columbia. We're starting to move a little bit down there, and that's just another step in the right direction. To make some things better.
Mr. Shipley, did I say anything else? Cover?
I think you did.
It's just your presence back here.
No.
And so what we're asking now is for you to approve advertising for the public hearing, and then when we come back, we'll go through the list of all the things and do your priorities and be ready to go. Then you go down.
Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors authorize staff to advertise for a public hearing regarding the Virginia Department of Transportation secondary six-year plan.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Scheduled for May 16th.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate
you as well.
Everything
thank
that y'all
you
are doing.
Thank you. We'll pass that along.
All right. Action matter B, authorization to advertise. Oh, no, we just did that. Secondary six-year plan. C, appointment to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council, EDTAC business rep position. Mr. Nichols.
So we have one appointment to put in there, a vacant business person in Ms. Monroe, who's with the Elephant's Trunk. We're going to do the grand opening at the new site up by Food Lion. I think
Papa
this
John.
Weekend,
Papa
by, yeah, next to Papa
weekend,
John,
at 1
but this weekend,
mm-hmm.
And she's put in an application for appointment to the EDTAC.
Yes,
so,
I'll make the motion.
I move to approve Nita Monroe to the Economic Development and Tourist Advisory Council, EDTAC, Levant County Business Representative with the term to begin April 18, 2018 and to terminate June 30, 2021.
Point of clarification, we're appointing her.
Appointed
her. Not approving instead of approving.
You said approving.
We're appointing her instead of approving her.
Exactly. All right, we got a motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Presentations. D, County Building Utility Usage Update, Mr. Stevens, knock our socks off.
Yes, sir. We on board. Only about 3 months into the results of our ESCO project, the energy savings contract. And the county's buildings that were affected by this are listed on this spreadsheet that you see. The larger ones being the public safety building, the library, the treasurer's and commissioner's office, the admin building, and the courts building are also on there. A lot of smaller buildings had some smaller amounts of things done. As you can see, what I did was I took the average of the FY15, 16, 17 months of December through February, and then this year's December through February, because most of the projects were completely finished by November 30th. And compared electric bills. We save money on most of our electric bills, as you can see. There's a couple of outliers, the primary one being the treasurer's building. And how do I advance?
Left bump. Left bump.
Okay. We basically had a net reduction of about $4,000 over that 3 months. I don't want anybody to get in any kind of panic mode right now, because this is just the very beginning of this. 10 of the 14 buildings have seen reduced costs. The treasurer's commissioner's building is one of the, is the most notable exception. But we need to remember that during the entire period that project was, that the ESCO stuff was going on, we were doing extensive renovations in that building. We normally have about a $200 to $300 electric bill in that building, and it was $1,100 for the month of December. So the treasurer's building probably should have just left off, perhaps, or put into the next analysis. The public safety building also had a modest increase rather than a decrease in electric bill, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're using significantly more equipment in that building than before. So as things change, first of all, that building really didn't get anything except LED lights, so you wouldn't expect an enormous drop in electric bills. At the same time that we were doing that, though, we were adding significant amounts of communications equipment into the computer room there, and so it seems to have kind of balanced itself out. One other thing to remember, this is regarding the courts building and the and this isn't on here because I didn't really have time to do too much of an analysis of it, but in the Treasurer's Building, we will no longer be using heating oil. Our typical annual heating oil bill for the Treasurer's and Commissioner's office was somewhere around between $3,000 and $3,500 a year. This past year, it was $886. And next year, it will be zero because we've got completely electric heating and air conditioning in the building now. So that is one savings that you're going to get at that building is about $3,500 a year, even if the electric bill doesn't come down. The courts building also, to be honest with you, we saw a bit of a reduction in the heating oil bill and then it kind of went up again, but it's more of it, but it's up by about $700 over the previous year, FY17. But FY17 was down almost $6,000 from FY16. A lot of the savings that we were going to get in the courts building had more or less already occurred from improvements that we did to the controls of the HVAC system the previous year.
Did they put in a new system?
They put in a new condenser.
Because we were having trouble some years back always with this building.
I think with this building, the equipment that replaced, we probably will not see savings regard on it until summer. Because it was AC-related equipment rather than heat-related equipment. And then the gymnasium, we've noticed about a $4,000 reduction in heating oil cost for this past year. So if you go, let me go back to my first slide. Is that the right way? Okay. You can see on the gymnasium, it's,
where is the gymnasium?
Oh, third one up from the bottom. We realized about a $300 electric bill decrease over that 3-month period. And admittedly, that's about $100 a month. But we've also had a $4,000 reduction in the heating oil expenses over the course of the winter. This is 3 months of data. There's no reason to get panicky or celebrate or whatever you might want to do because of these savings. Because what we do, we need to gather some more data before we can be certain. I mean, things like the Public Works Office, they did really nothing more than a little bit of insulating in that building. We already had LED lights in our building. I've had them there for several years. They were kind of a pilot study for LED lights about 3 years ago. I put them in, so we realized a little bit of electric bill savings then, but you can see it went up by $55, which is kind of an insignificant amount over 3 months. The important ones to look at are going to be the Treasurer's Commissioner's Building and the Courts Building and the Public Safety Building to make sure that we really do realize the savings that we thought we were going to get there. Fire stations are all doing reasonably well. Mainly that was LED lighting improvements and some what they call building envelope work, where they put in new seals around garage doors and around entry doors and things like that to try to save energy there. But overall, the 3-month electric savings so far for the 3 months that the project's been completed is a little over $4,000 net. Were there any questions?
Yes, I made a comment, naturally. You say to remain calm, you're not the panic.
Please don't be the superintendent.
That was a joke that Kelly about so that she could remove it before him.
I was going to elaborate on that because I think we have the greatest contract we can have. When you have a contract and you can't lose on it,
oh, absolutely.
What is their answer? I think it's great. You know, they're going to make up any differences that we don't make, and they promise. So I've very seldom ever had a contract you can't lose on.
Well, actually, it begs the second question, which is, in your calculations here, I've alluded to the savings on oil and heating. Is that actually part of the calculations on the contract savings?
I believe it was, yes, sir.
Okay.
I need to get a little deeper into the heating oil, but I think it's overall energy cost. Right. Yep. So it does include either propane, it would have to be a propane building, or natural gas, or
my man was looking at devil deal.
Contract mistake, that's their problem, right?
But it does include, as Steve said, it does include all sorts of heating oil and stuff like that. The one thing that people have to remember, though, too, is within the contract, there's parameters for controls, temperature controls, heating controls, equipment's in there. So if people are adding things that they shouldn't be adding in there or weren't necessarily in there from the original, that can, skew like this.
Such as a computer equipment.
If you're replacing one thing for another, that's one thing. But if you have someone that has, five space heaters in their office, right. that can affect things if it's going on for a long period of time.
You make an excellent point, because probably sometime, and I'm not necessarily volunteering to be that person, I can be part of those people. We may need to have some education of the, let's call them tenants in our buildings.
Right.
They're kind of accustomed to be able to do what they want.
Right.
They're feeling a little cool, they plug in a space heater. There are parameters,
yes.
Thermostat settings, mm-hmm. minimums and maximums that we have to maintain.
Right.
People are going to have to be notified that if you're a little bit uncomfortable, you're going to need to put on a sweater. I mean, we'll
operate. Let me ask you this question. Like one of our offices that one of our PE teachers has, there is no heat in that room.
Yeah, like my office for the first 4 years.
Well, I'm just saying, there is no heat. If she puts a little space heater in there for herself, we can't see her breath.
I can dodge that one easily because that's the school side of things. That's
yeah, exactly.
In all honesty, I think, talk to the schools because I have to think they would have taken having some kind of portable heater in an office that has no vents into account in their computations. I'm not saying they did.
They've done a pretty good job of educating the school side because Mr. Wills is the only person who can touch it.
They're coming around to inspect, you have to.
Right, and
that's good.
If they come to me and say something, I say, you better not touch anything because we have to keep it right here. Well, and he's the man in charge because if you break that contract that we've got, then we got issues.
This has been alluded to in staff meetings and such on the admin side, but we have not, as you might call it, laid down the law regarding that yet, telling people you are not allowed, and I have not put locks on the thermostats yet. Now, that may come if we're not realizing, because again, and if something's out of whack, they are monitoring these things and they are supposed to get in touch with us, but we have a certain responsibility to monitor ourselves as well, and we have to make sure that people aren't going in and clandestinely bumping that thermostat up to 78 or something when the maximum is supposed to be a 76 or whatever. So,
two more questions. Easy ones. The months involved here are January through March?
December, January, and February.
Oh, we were pretty cold during those 3 months.
We were cold.
Yes, we did have some abnormally cold weather during those months as well.
Yep.
Personally, I'm throwing out the Treasurer's building completely. I mean, in all honesty, we probably realized more like around a $6,000 savings, even with the increased cold. The Treasurer's building is an outlier because there were times when the windows were out.
They said February on average wasn't quite as bad, but March was worse.
Well, that's true.
To me, maybe balance out.
Once we have the only reason I don't have March in here is because I was missing 4 electric bills. And all 4 of them were one of these 14 buildings. But when I prepared this spreadsheet, we had not gotten and paid the March bills yet. It being April now, that's not surprising. But the next time you see this, it's probably going to be 3 to 4 months from now, and we'll have more than a half of years worth of data.
April's going to be tough on us because we're not normally seeing snow.
No. Yeah. No, normally you're going around turning off boilers and getting ready for AC in April, and we've had to leave the boilers running in most of the buildings.
And the last question is, what is the average calculated savings that we need in order to? It's no loss to us, but from their perspective, what are they looking for?
What kind of savings annually are we on our side?
The county had 77,000 on the county side, and it was 420
schools. As far away, the schools were the biggest component of this contract. But and I'll be perfectly honest with you, with 3 months data and only 6,000 in savings, we're not quite on track to make 77,000.
Well, I think that incorporate the cost of the gas and propane that you're saving.
Right, and we also need get some summertime data too, because the improvements in this building that were supposed to be the majority of the efficiency increase in the climate control system we're on the AC side, and I'm hoping for some really good improvements in the summer months.
They've got pretty good controls in, because in my office, there's a thermostat on the wall. When I come in the morning, it's way down, and if it's cold in the winter, I would adjust it a couple of temperatures, but it automatically goes back to the old setting. So we've got stuff resensed, so it never runs hot at night, because most of the time you can't override that, so it goes back down at night.
Yeah, they are programmed to cycle, I think an hour or so before the building's occupancy, it starts creeping back up. But the problem is going to be if somebody just blatantly goes in and starts messing with the thermostat on a regular basis.
The problem is at about 9 o'clock at night, he shuts this building off and it gets really hot in this room, so tell him.
I do.
Well, somebody does. On the school side, you might recall 2 or 3, 4 years ago, they had a great savings when fuel oil went down.
Yep, right.
Well, now we're down, and if you notice, oil is going back up now.
Sure is.
So they're going to be the ones that suffer the consequences, not us.
They're getting rid of oil. Oil's going away from the schools.
Yeah, they're going to, I think, but all petroleum is creeping up.
Yeah.
My understanding is that they got rid of most of their heating oil systems and have put.
That was the board.
In fact, I know they put a huge number of propane tanks in down at the
central that is true for
facility.
Sure.
So
not central, but the high school still got that.
Yes.
Monitor.
And
well, they put in new boilers. They didn't, so.
So we anyway, we're confident that we're going to be able to make it. We have realized some savings, and I wanted to give you the first report because we are about 3 months into it. Not quite as good as I hoped it was going to be. Well, we had some factors that enter into it.
And the treasurer's office will be far greater because you took
all the old windows out, too.
I think from an overall standpoint, we should definitely see it, especially that $3,500 a year heating oil, which is now going to be.
I have you know I'm very calm.
Oh, very good.
I
apologize for that. Like I said, that was a joke that I threw in there, and I forgot to make sure that we removed it.
That's okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Stevens. All righty. We've now had our presentation. We'll go to the consent agenda. E, minutes of March 7th, 2018. F, minutes of March 14th, 2018. G, minutes of March 21st, 2018. H, minutes of March 28th, 2018. I, the accounts payable report, March 2018. J, FY18 third quarter voluntary contributions with Twinsdale. K, VDOT secondary street acceptance, Panorama subdivision. L, FY18 library E-rate funds supplemental appropriation. What do we need to pull?
Pull I, bills again, nationally.
Yes, sir.
123. Sort of curious about that.
Tourism design, AHA consulting.
Oh, that's the website design from our web. That's the tourism page.
Yeah,
for the county website.
The sign, tourism sign.
No, tourism.
That's not
tourism.
One.
Tourism design.
Design. Oh, design.
Yeah, not sign.
That's this one.
It's the web.
I'll show you. I think I showed you all a couple weeks ago. One right here. That web page. That's the new tourism page for the county.
I thought I was actually talking about signs.
No, designs.
And I didn't think we had approved anything like that.
No, this is the ongoing website.
Okay, very good. 466 and 467.
Barrett Tree Service,
yes.
Pleasant Grove.
Uh-huh.
Trees,
I was sort of curious about
those. Are those great big ones that are out front that were failing?
Yeah.
Right in front of the Pleasant Grove House. This was not too long ago we did that. There were some huge trees out there that were bad and couldn't be saved.
How many were removed there? It says that oak removed.
It may have been one of the big oaks. That's very expensive to take one of those great big ones.
$2,400.
Absolutely.
Also added into that was tree removal for the disc golf course, and I don't even know exactly how many.
We had some trees chipped out.
They were too big.
Probably love to have those big trees that split them up.
Not the ones I chipped, sir. They're all pine.
They're what?
They're all pine.
No, you don't want pine.
They were still
the ones I chipped.
They were still very good sized trees, and I mean, I think it was.
I just find the dozen or pay for 2,400 cut down a tree when people want them so bad. That's the point.
But who's going to safely cut it down and take the wood?
They got to be insured too.
There's people in this county that love to have a tree. That's all I'm saying.
They can, yes, but they cannot legally take it down. They're not insured to take it down. So you have to hire a contractor to take. I had to do it in my house too, at my old house, because I couldn't take them down because they're too close to the house. And you have to have a licensed contractor do that.
We take them down all the time.
Well, but not on county property. You don't.
No. So.
No,
I just see those prices. And
sure.
I know there's quite a demand for wood in this county.
Well, I'm sure they did something with the wood, too. I don't know if they resell it or do what with it, but those contractors don't just throw it on the roadside.
One of the guys that lives down next to me, he's now bought him a sawmill. He made boards out of it. He comes home.
I like that sound better than dogs.
Okay.
That's your son.
That's all that I have. So you want a motion now or here?
Yes, sir. I would love a motion, sir.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda. That's E through L, and the accounts payable and payroll to be ratified for March 2018 in the amount of $2,147,725.86.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Is there any unfinished business?
Yes. In my packet, I had the code compliance violation statistics.
Yeah, Mr. Weaver was talking earlier about the building inspections report, the new homes and things. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I'll make sure that's in your next packet, but I don't think we missed a month, but if we did,
yes.
We'll hold up.
I don't want to exaggerate, but I'm sure it's been 2 months, maybe 3 months, because I've been looking at it. In fact, I looked at it during budget time. I wanted to look at that and see what the difference might be in extra revenue.
No problem.
Now, but see, I'm looking at Scott Miller's report.
Right, that's code compliance.
Yeah, and we just had someone come before us talking about it.
Oh, he's got lots of compliance actions going.
Yeah, a lot of things are happening. I don't think that one is on the list, the one they were talking about, Cactus Road or whatever. Do we?
But is there any problem?
You know, it is so much. But the couple of places that I know that's not on, that's a lot of work.
Yes.
Do we want to clean up the county? Can Scott do that? Do we need some more help?
No.
Then how are we going to move this?
We charge them.
Yeah. Two things. You expanded that position a couple of years ago to be able to go to full time.
Right.
And that's part of why we did this, so we could enforce your ordinance and stuff. So, no, I don't think you need extra help or staff now. In the coming years, as business grows, there may be more enforcement actions, but I think we're okay now. But we're just ramping up, and you're going to see a lot more on this list because there's a lot of properties that you're not seeing there yet that will be on there.
Okay. No, this is a whole list. I mean, it's so big.
No, that's just the current action.
That's March.
It's already come off.
This one is March, I think.
All right.
Is there anybody can initiate to do some more to
That's what I'm thinking of.
No, ma'am. You can't. I'll defer to my attorney. It's got to have a reason to do it. Just because you don't like the look of it doesn't mean it's not within code. And so, if we just willy-nilly start sending letters out to everybody, it's not the way we're supposed to enforce ordinance.
And this is kind of
we're targeting these things and going to them when we know about them, when we get complaints. But you can't do them all at one time.
Yeah, but it makes your neighborhood less.
Yes, ma'am, but I mean, it may make you aggravated if your neighbor doesn't cut your grass, but we're going to make another ordinance next that says you have to keep your grass cut.
I'm not talking about cutting grass.
Well, I mean, that's another thing that bothers people about the neighbors.
The example for me all the time that people bring up, that people point out all the time, is near Lake Monticello. You know where the Domino's is and the dentist's office and stuff down at this end? Just past that, there's a house that's got that old house right by the road.
Right.
It's one of the old style that's right on the road edge practically. And it looks like heck, and it's older than dirt, and it looks like it's going to, you know, it was always really trashy before. But somebody has taken the time to board all the windows up, clean all the stuff that was on the porch all around it, and it is not something that we can enforce just because we don't like the look of it. It's not a falling down hazard, kids can't get into it because it's locked up and boarded up, and that's not something you can enforce just because you don't like the look of it.
Well, I'd like to revisit. We brought us pictures before.
Yep.
I mean, I'd like to revisit because on Hayden Martin, we still have, it's worse now than ever.
But it's just farther back off the road at that property.
They,
Hayden
all
Martin.
They did was throw the stuff in the woods.
Put it back farther in the woods.
So what's good of it? I mean,
but
I just
trash,
need to talk
trash
about
does not that. Constitute a violation by in and of itself. It has to be a health and safety issue.
But we have a rule on
cars
that have been there for 25 years
yep.
without tags.
Right.
Right. And
right.
We also, there's a trailer that was approved many years ago, I would say between 12, 15 years ago, on Blue Ridge Drive. This may be it here, I'm not sure. But it was for medical.
Right, I remember this circumstance,
right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's empty now, and it's been empty for a long time. So what's the process of doing that? I know that
That's the violation of the SUP that's on there.
Oh, it is?
That was that special use permit that you approved for that. It was a temporary measure for the health.
Hardship.
Right.
I know several trailers. Hardship this
right.
city.
15 Blue Ridge Drive, that's
yeah.
it.
I'm pretty sure that's the one because
yeah,
that's the one
the
that...
First.
There was a case on just about the time I got here,
okay.
just before that.
So it's been.
It's still the permit is pending. They're if you look at the notes down below here, they have to put in a new permit applied down here. Sorry, applied to for a permit to abate the violation. So they're putting in a request for a permit that'll be coming. So it'll be coming from the Planning Commission then to the board.
Oh, okay, so they want to reopen it for hardship.
For whatever change, whatever, I don't even know what the change is, but that's what they're going to be coming to ask them.
And we don't know what they're going to ask them?
I don't know, because I don't know every one of these. I'd have to have Scott here to ask them.
Oh, okay.
So, but suffice it to say, I'm bugging staff to death to
mm-hmm.
ramp up enforcement on the new ordinances, but we also have to have a really live, no kidding, consistent process to do that. I don't want this going willy-nilly and just bugging citizens on stuff that doesn't meet our code requirements. And so the checklist, the letters have already been drafted, they're trying to get them loaded into Energo, and Scott is obviously updating the number of actions, but...
Can we see property, pictures of property that are in violation of the ordinance and
sure.
those...
I think that, but that's really staff's time. I mean, we put the ordinances in place.
I'm sorry, maybe you don't live in an area
no,
where you have to go
saying,
and see trash everywhere.
We have the ordinance, it's going to take some time to clean it up. But I mean,
no.
Trash, there's properties all over the county that I think look terrible.
Yes.
But they don't violate your code.
And they don't
and
warn our time.
I need to see that and see why it doesn't
okay.
violate the code. And it shouldn't take a lot of time to staff.
All those different staff agencies, the county attorney, we went through this to the nth degree, figured out what was what to how to enforce these new codes. And I understand your frustration, but just because you don't like the looks, that doesn't mean it's against the law.
See a couple on that side.
But I'm just saying it doesn't warrant our time.
I'm around all the time. I see them all.
So,
well,
if we're going to do it your
way, I like seeing how everybody pretty much on there is working towards making
yeah,
it right.
To been cleared?
To Mrs.
Or they're working on it?
Yeah, to Mrs. Booker's point, it'd be nice to have kind of the before and after picture there if that's clear. But, you know, if it's easy enough.
Now, I'm not trying to make any work for anybody. We already have them. I'm just trying to.
Well, I assume that staff took a picture of the violation before
they
and picture after.
They
so.
Did. And they already.
So, the people who spoke this evening, you know,
yes,
you know the properties. I'm sure you've been by, and there's nothing that we can do.
Yes, we had an enforcement officer out there, but at the time that he went out the first time, it didn't violate code.
And anyway,
he did a full report and sent me the report. It didn't violate code. With the new court ordinances, hopefully this new trash will be able to do something about it. But he got the dumpster taken away, and then they put some new stuff out. Well, you can only inspect every property so many times. I mean. He is only one person, but
then you go start getting harassment suits.
Well, you're trying
as
to
lawyer, I'm saying harassment like I know what it is with me.
The problem is, frankly, we could use a lot more staff in a lot of areas. This is one of them.
Yes.
Well, but
we just went and done it.
You got to, before you have more staff, you got to have more money.
I mean,
we'll be the cleanest county, the most expensive.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what mess you're talking about. There's a property up the road here ways that I think is just pathetic, but I'm not sure that it violates code because it's not necessarily a health and safety hazard with the trash that's there. It's just messy.
Well, we need to
decide
stick
to tell
the code.
Someone we can't.
That's certainly you're right, and you can do that, but.
Then we're going to tell people how they have to live.
You can do something.
They buy a piece of property.
How about you give us 90 days to work on this, and we'll see where we go and get stuff happened on, and you'll see what the names are and see the reports every month when it comes through.
You know, you go
but
down.
But it's a steady process, not all.
I've been down to commit, Patricia, I'm talking to you, because you and I seem to be. I go down to go, nice and neighborhood, and it's just here and trash then, and it just takes away, and people get in a mindset that this is acceptable, it's all right, and kids see all that mess and they think it's right, and it's just.
Well, I'll tell you the issue we've had on my road. You want to talk about that? I will tell you the issue we've had on my road, just real quick, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
I have no idea who it is. I don't partake of alcohol myself. Mm-hmm. But I go down to my ditch and I will find full beer bottles all through my ditch, and somebody's going home and is not allowed to take those beers in that house. And those beers that aren't drank are ending up in my yard, or not in my yard, but in my ditch. I don't like it very much, but I tend to gather them together and drop them off in the neighbor who does partake.
You want to hear my story?
Yes, sir.
I went down the road in front of my place and I picked up 4 bags of trash.
Yes, sir.
Beer
yes.
bottles, cans,
yeah, but that's
did you recycle it?
Did you?
I have it at the house.
Okay, good.
Did you submit expense stuff?
Did
all right.
You pick up any chairs? Did you pick up old wood?
How about this? We'll arrange an afternoon or a morning for anyone who wants to do a ride around with Scott, and we'll look at properties. And then he can explain what is in code and not in code, and we can point out specific ones, because that would help, I think, everybody.
I nominate Mrs. Booker to go on that ride along.
Mrs. Booker will see you both.
We're
going to put the ladies in a car with Scott. He's going to show up what's up.
Wow. All right, folks, we've talked about trash now. Thank you very much. Let's move forward. All right, here we go.
New business?
It's been trash talk. I do have one question about new business. How are we doing with the RFPs for the ambulance service?
They're due in February, or they're due April 26th, next Thursday.
Is that where they were due from the original?
No, they've been extended twice beyond the original one. And we have 2 bids in so far.
They're trying to get a third. Okay. Thank you very much. Boy, that answered my only question. I'm moving right on to public comment. Second round of public comment. I'm sorry. Hope anybody else had anything. We're going to second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium, state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments 5 minutes on top and directed to the board. If anyone wishes to speak to the board at this time. Good, I don't have to throw my gavel in.
So we're going to now close the second round of public comment. We're going to do the trashy ride around with the women.
I can bounce it in there nice and safe. Alright, here we go. Mr. O'Brien.
I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A3, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7, Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, legal matters, and litigation and legal matters.
Do I have a second? All right, do I have a second?
Boy. Someone's lost.
We have a motion by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr.
You've been working overtime.
All in favor? Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session. All right, Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors. I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
We'll work on that one.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien. You got half of it.
Seconded by Mr. Booker. Ms. Zeger?
That's kind of difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We're now back in open session. Mr. Nichols, you said you had a couple of things.
Two quick things. Make sure when you do your drive arounds that you hit those trailer parks, because that'll be a discussion you want to have when you come back. And make sure you hit the mobile home parks.
Oh.
Make sure you hit those when you go so you can talk to Scott about it, and then it can be a discussion here. There's Mrs. Booker's district. There's two of them down there.
Is that one in my district that used to be?
The one up at Zion Crossroads is gone.
And there's one in Dixie.
There's one off Oliver Creek in there, man.
That's right.
Is there
one? It is.
So we'll probably look at that one, too. But I think that one's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, so I think that one's much better.
The second thing is, I was at a meeting last week, and I mentioned to a couple more Lake Monticello board members. I always ping them about the boats and about, you know, registering boats and get them on the tax rolls and stuff. And somebody told me at that meeting, I don't remember who it was, a citizen, that they had just, people at the lake had just gotten a letter saying that they're going to be sending the list of boats to state, to DGIF. Well, that'd be great. If they're going to send a list of all their boats to DGIF, that'd be great. Except I contacted the general manager, and he said, I believe we're making the required annual report as of January 1st each year. I found no indication of any of the reports coming from us. So I'm going to run this to ground again, because somebody said they actually got a letter from Illinois. If they truly are sending a full report to the state, that would help us a great deal. I've been pinging them every time I see them, and there's new leadership there now, so it may get changed. But Mr. O'Brien, can you definitely kind of tweak them every time you see them too? It's just a matter of fairness issue. Got to vote one neighbor's house and then vote another neighbor's house. Just because one's not state registered, we don't know about it.
Right.
And so, and they have a list of all their votes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaning towards maybe giving us that list.
Right. Now,
but anyway, it would be helpful. So just an update for you. Thanks.
All right. Do a motion to adjourn.
I love that we adjourn, Mr. Chair.
Please, somebody second.
Well, let me ask a question for you. Can we evaluate county administrator at the next board meeting? You know, we can do it in 20 minutes, and then it'll all be over.
That's
with.
Fine.
Yes.
That's
it's
fine.
It's a 4 o'clock board meeting, and so if you want to come in at
let's
3,
keep it short,
or if you want to do just a regular meeting and then do it right after the meeting,
we'll
have dinner for you.
Do the regular meeting, do it after the meeting. Let's try not to have a closed session unless it's something absolutely necessary. Indeed. We won't have a closed session. We can go to closed session for that purpose.
Yep. And I'll have Jessica here for that too, in case you need her. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful, safe trip home.